Inside Crime is brought to you by Deterra. The Deterra drug deactivation pouch provides an easy and effective way to dispose of unused or expired medication. Learn more at deterrasystem.com. Stay safe, stay ready with Deterra. I'm Angeline Hartman. I've spent my career as a journalist covering some of the worst crimes in history. My craft is storytelling. My passion is crime fighting. With this podcast, I'm bringing you more stories, candid conversations with crime victims, their families, and law enforcement. We'll journey together as we learn what happens inside crime. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Inside Crime. This season is all about survivors and heroes. Last week, we introduced you to Alicia Kosakiewicz. She was 13 years old when she was abducted by a child predator she met online. If you haven't heard that episode yet, go back and listen to it, because this episode is tied directly to Alicia's story. She survived a real-life dungeon nightmare. Today, we talk to the FBI agent who helped rescue her. In 2002, John Moeller was part of a brand new unit focusing on crimes against children.
With anything, there's good and bad that comes from technology, and they're wonderful tools, but they can be tools for good and they can be tools for evil. We had a crimes against children. We took on every violation, it just wasn't online. So we had international parental kidnappings. We had regular kidnappings. We had just anything that dealt with a child. We put all those violations of federal law all in one squad. And it was new. It was exciting, and we felt that we were on the cusp of doing something new and great in terms of public safety and public order, and just doing the right thing. And all of those people were very, very passionate about children. I was preparing to go to the Winter Olympics. I had a collateral duty of hazmat technician for the FBI, and I was loading up equipment and getting things ready. We had just dealt with 9/11 at the Pentagon, and we had just dealt with some of the anthrax investigation. And so we're getting our equipment and all of our gear ready to head out to the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake. And our supervisor said, "Hey, where's Moeller at?" And everybody kind of shrugs their shoulders. And I come walking down into the squad area, and one of the agents in our squad had received a lead in on some information in from Tampa, Florida. They had identified through the information that had come in Tampa that they felt that the individual and potentially Ms. Kozak were out in Herndon, Virginia. And I lived out that way. I had lived out in Fairfax County and Loudoun County, and I had worked with some of the Herndon police detectives out there and said, "Hey, find John, let's get him out there." And they sent four of us out there from the squad, and we grabbed two new agents in the office just for extra people. And myself and one of the senior agents went out and just sat on the house until we decided what was going to happen next.
And so at this point, you obviously had already identified the person and the house, or we don't know yet.
We had identified all that, but it was through other investigators. This didn't have anything to do with what I was doing. I knew the area, I knew the police officers, but they had identified a specific house where they felt that she may be in the basement. And so they asked me to go out and take a look at the house, tell me what you're seeing. And so myself and a senior agent called back and said, "Hey, this is what we're seeing, this is what we're doing. We're just going to sit and hang out, and then if somebody comes along and comes up to the house, we can stop and say, 'Hey, what's going on in here? You know, maybe maybe talk to them about going in and taking a look around in the house, or if somebody leaves the house, we can just kind of figure out what's going on.
But at that point, you already know the background. I mean, you know about the guy in Florida.
Myself personally, no. But one of the folks that was on my squad was working the phones and was talking to Pittsburgh and was talking to Tampa. What had happened is she had been reported missing. And then I don't know the timeline of it, but at some point the suspect was talking in a chat room with somebody that was down in Tampa, Florida. And this concerned citizen started doing a little bit of homework and realized from the internet, ironically, that there was a girl missing in Pittsburgh, and that the girl that he was talking about could potentially be this kidnapped girl. And so he decided to call the FBI. In Tampa, and then between them and Pittsburgh and one of the agents on my squad, they started doing their homework very, very quickly to figure out who this individual was, really was, and where he may potentially be, and more importantly, where Ms. Kozak would be.
I don't know if you knew this, but we like to say that Alicia is a great example of how missing posters work, because that guy in Florida was trying to figure out who this girl is, right, on the live stream, and he sees the poster from the National Center and puts all the pieces together. That's part of how he recognized her from that poster.
My boss was looking at me saying, hey, you know how to talk to pedophiles. You know how to, you know, go up and set up on a house. You know that area out there. You know the detectives out there. Just get out there and get the groundwork laid. And so even though we were a new squad and a new unit, we knew what each of our strengths were, or at least our boss knew what our strengths were and where we should be used. And he did that very, very well. And as a result, I don't have to necessarily worry about the details that are coming, some of the details that are coming in, because I know that there's somebody else that's handling that piece of the pie. I don't have to carry the whole dinner table around. I just need to worry about the salad or the dessert, whatever it is that I'm being tasked with.
So what happened next? You're outside and you're sitting on the house.
We're just sitting out there, and there's a lot of decisions that have to be made of, do we have the right house? Where is he at? Where is potentially she at? Are we going to wait for him to come home? Do we know where he works? Do we, somebody's doing all of that legwork, and I am just the guy sitting on the house hoping that somebody comes or goes so that we can figure out what's going on.
Right.
We knew that we had the right place because there was a car that was parked on the side that was registered to him, that was parked along the street. So we knew that at this point, all we really had was a name and we had an address, and that's really all that there was a belief that she was tied up in the basement. That's when we were sitting on the house. That's all we knew. And we know the guy's name. I didn't have a picture. I didn't have anything. Just knew. Because we ran out the door as quickly as it came in. Ran out there, found the address, ran the plates, figured out that this house was going to be his, and just sat and waited. And I can't tell you what time, but little by little, we had four more people show up. And one of them was the agent that was doing all the homework, that was communicating with Pittsburgh and with Tampa, and really the person that was doing the real heavy lifting. And the guy that I was sitting out there with got a phone call that said, hit the house, go see if she's in there. At the time, I wasn't thinking about going and finding a live child that had been kidnapped. That was, I mean, it was real, but it wasn't real. And you have to remember, I'd only been doing this for maybe a year at that point. And so they told us to go up and knock and announce and give them a reasonable amount of time to answer the door. And then if they don't answer, let's see if we can go find her. And this is an emergency. We got to go get her. And That's exactly what we did.
So you knock on the door?
Knock on the door and say that we're the law enforcement, police, the FBI, and nobody answered. And I rammed the door, and we cleared the first floor. And the thing that I remember the most is there was a cat. And I say that because by this time your blood's pumping and your heart's pounding, and it's always that when you go into a house like that. And but now we're looking for a child, and this is something you see on television. And there's this cat in every room we went in. This cat would jump out, and it would startle us because it's just trying to get away from us. And so as we clear room by room, this cat would jump out.
Oh my God.
just another thing to amp up your anxiety. And it was a fairly, messy house, but the first floor was a normal house, and we're kind of looking at each other saying, well, kind of looks like my house, just a little messier maybe. And then we went down into the basement. We get downstairs, which is in our mind where we thought that she was, and we get down there and we see all of these, it was just whips and flogs and pulleys and chains, and everything is black, and it's, my words won't express what was going through our minds. And I remember looking at the senior agent that I'd been with, and we just looked at each other and realized, yeah, well, good, we're in the right spot. Now, where's she at? And so we go through there, we're ultimately looking for her. That's why we're in this person's home. But we're also worried about, is there anybody else there? Is there other children there? Is there other bad guys there? I mean, we have no idea what to expect at this point. And now we have to finish clearing the rest of the house for our safety, but we also want to be very diligent in, have we looked everywhere to make sure that we've covered everything, to make sure she's not there? And I know that was what was going through my head, because we're there, the only reason we're there is to find her. We're in there for an emergency situation to find her. We ended up going back upstairs and to the main floor, and then we went up to the second floor. And as we came up to the top of the stairs on the second floor, there was a bedroom to the right. I went through the first bedroom door at the top of the stairs to the left, and my responsibility is the right side of the room, and the guy that goes in with me, the senior agent, with his responsibility was the left side of the room. And on the right side of the room, there was a doorway to a dark another room, which would have been the bathroom. And out of the corner of my eye, I'm kind of looking to the right because that's my responsibility, and I see this bathroom door there where there's darkness in there. So if somebody's hiding, bad guys, I have to make sure that we're safe. And out of the corner of my left eye, I see some movement that looked like hair. And I thought, oh, that stupid cat. And it was the top of the head of a little girl.
Inside Crime is brought to you by DoTERRA. The DoTERRA drug deactivation pouch provides an easy and effective way to get rid of unused or expired medication. The DoTERRA pouch makes addictive drugs like opioids unusable in minutes. Just place the medication in the pouch and mix with water. Be a part of America's solution to reduce drug abuse. Learn more at DoTERRAsystem.com. Stay safe, stay ready with DoTERRA.
And out of the corner of my left eye, I see some movement that looked like hair. And I thought, oh, that stupid cat. And it was the top of the head of a little girl. and it was Ms. Kozak, and she was chained up between the bed and the wall, and my partner was screaming, "Let me see your hands, let me see your hands," because we can't see all the way over in that area. And so I stuck my head in the bathroom to make sure that nobody was behind me, and went over and pulled the comforter back. And it was Miss Kozak. She had a leather collar around her neck and was chained off to the wall and half naked, and had two little pet bowls there to eat and drink from. And my partner is screaming, "Is there anybody else here? Is there anybody else here? And is there anybody else here?" to her, so we know whether the rest of the rooms up there have somebody that we need to be looking at. The collar was a leather collar. Where it fastened, it had a padlock on it. And then in addition to that padlock, it also had a chain. And that chain was 20-something foot long. And it went all the way over to where the wall and the floor come together. My head's spinning. But I asked her, "Do you need anything to eat? Do you need anything to drink? Are you okay?" And she's telling me yes. And I'm going through the, you know, making sure that she's okay. And at the point, I'm looking at the collar, and I'm looking at her, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, where this chain goes and what's going on with it.
Whoa, man. You know, when we talked to Alicia, she said at first she thought, when she heard you guys come in, she thought that he had sent somebody else. She didn't really know what to think. She could hear people and you know, sounds. And she thought that maybe somebody else had come in. He had hired somebody to come take her away. She didn't know. And it didn't hit her right away that you guys were there to save her, to help her.
I don't know how to describe it. I think at that point, it was almost I don't want to say shock, but it was just almost like an out-of-body experience, like when you go through a car accident or when you know, something that's very traumatic. And I think for all of us, because none of us had ever experienced anything like that, especially involving a child. No sooner did we get downstairs, there stood my boss. And my boss tasked myself and a different agent that was there with us, and the two new agents, to head over to his job, which was a short distance away there in Herndon. So we went from one thing to the next. And so we jumped in the car and headed over to this workplace. It was Computer Associates International. There's all kinds of security and all kinds of different things there. And we told them why we were there and that we were looking for the suspect. And they took us to where his cube was at. And we got there and he wasn't there. And there was an old street sergeant that, when I was on the police department, used to tell me that if you just step back and then you take in your surroundings, you'll figure it out. At that time, I didn't have a picture of the suspect. Didn't know who he was. Didn't know, I mean, I knew his name. Outside of that, I didn't know much else about him. So I stepped back. And I remember looking over the top of the cubes, and there was a guy down at the other end of the row, and he had that look. And I said, "That's the guy right there." And so
he had that look.
It's just that look. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. That old street sergeant told me that if you just took a step back and you took a look around, you'd figure it out. You'd see it. You'd know it. And I saw it and knew it. And I said, "That's the guy." And so I said, I told the two new agents that were with us, I said, "Go down there and ask that guy his name." And so they ran down there, and sure enough, it was our suspect. And so they cuffed him up and took him down to my my car, and we chatted briefly. I told him that there's reasonable explanations for a lot of things, and some things don't appear as they are. Sometimes there needs to be an explanation of why things appear the way that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I was just out at your house, and I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation, but that doesn't look too good, my friend, and we probably should talk about what in the world I just saw. And he just sat there, and I said, I don't want to talk to you right now. We'll talk a little bit later. Ultimately, we ended up going over to the Herndon Police Department and spent about the next 8 hours with him.
Man.
He was polite and he was cordial. And
he's polite and cordial because he's scared as shit.
Interrogation 101, you don't paint a dire outlook to your suspect when you want him to talk to you. I felt that he needed to realize that I knew what was going on and that he needed to explain why there was a girl chained up in his house. I mean, I didn't say that, but I wanted him to feel that, look, I've been out to your house. There's a little girl chained up in your house. We probably should sit and talk about why in the world you got this going on in your house. And that's what he did. He spent the next 8 hours talking about it, and we went through as much detail as we could based on what we knew at that time.
You did not see Alicia again until you saw her at the National Center recently. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. She had been handed off, passed off to the female agent and get her some clothes and check her out and get her interviewed and all of those things. And my role was over and done. We had found her. We had found the bad guy. We're able to interview him. We were able to detain him. We did our testimony. We did our report. So I'm just off to my next assignment. And so recently when this working group was put together by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, I had the opportunity to see her. So now, what, almost 18 years has gone by, and she has had the opportunity to speak all over the world. You know, all this bad, negative, dark things that happened to her at such an early age, she's now able to go out and speak and share with folks of lessons learned and how she endured and how she persevered and just her experiences, and are able to shape it, and we're able to learn and grow from it, both as kids and as parents and as law enforcement. And so anyway, I had the opportunity to be reunited with her, and it was an emotional time for me. Because we were brand new in working crimes against children. And now I have the opportunity to see her and how she's grown and flourished through all of it. And so it was very, very rewarding to see the work that she's doing. And then it's a little bit of closure for me too.
I mean, she said it really was a beautiful moment for her to be able to meet you. And I appreciate that you say it was emotional for you.
Well, I'm supposed to be a tough guy. I'm not supposed to show those, remember? No, it was emotional. Because you wonder. You're in and out of somebody's life. You've made a splash, and you don't know quite how that changes them. And it has also shaped and molded me in what I'm passionate about. And it's emotional in that it's a happy, and it's a, I don't know how to express it in words. It's a rewarding moment to know that what we did made a difference, but made a difference in not only that she was alive, but look at the lives that she impacts now. I mean, just it absolutely amazing.
Well, John, I just want to say thank you for everything you have done. Everything you continue to do to help protect our children and help make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
And that's it for this edition of Inside Crime. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Angeline Hartman. For more about this podcast, check out insidecrime.com and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Inside Crime.